The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Praise and glory to God. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
I'm so glad you're using a real Bible for that, because your PowerPoint person, please take a seat. Your PowerPoint person went a bit rogue, so I do apologise. Grab a pew, everybody. I'll pray for Richard as he begins his talk. Loving God, we just thank you for Richard and for all he is in this community. And thank you for his generosity in spending time in your word this week. We pray for the talk that he shares. Would you give him the words for us today? And we invite your spirit in again. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Diana. Oh, you want to preach for me? Mm-hmm. Maybe I should, but next time. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Today we're coming to the end of our little sermon series on spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices to help us draw closer to Jesus. And we've covered three so far. We've looked at ruthlessly eliminating hurry from our lives to be more present to God. We've looked at finding prayer rhythms to help us be a church, be people that glow in the dark. And then last week we looked at radical hospitality. But can you guess from our readings today what our subject is going to be today? Wealth, money. Oh, got it. We're less than a minute in and I can feel the fear response rising already. It's a preacher's least favourite subject. I think a congregation's least favourite subject too, but it is important. Because it is a touchy subject and it's not going to be an easy ride today. But let's keep being focused on being covered in the dust of our Rabbi Jesus rather than in the dust of the world. Because to quote John Mark Comer, we forget that Jesus was the most intelligent teacher ever to live. And his teachings aren't just right in some arbitrary moral sense. They are good. And that's what morality is, the good and right way to live. Because in reality, Jesus' moral teachings aren't arbitrary at all. They are statements about how the world actually works. And Jesus taught about money an awful lot, and he had some pretty choice words about it. Here's just a few. This is Jesus being quoted in the Acts of the Apostles. "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Or in Luke's gospel, Jesus said to them, "Watch out and guard yourself from all types of greed, because one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Or from our Matthew passage from today, "Watch out, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Notice that he says, "You cannot serve God and money." It's not you shouldn't serve God and money, it's you cannot. It is black and white. But the word for serve is a really fun one to say in Greek. Does anyone want to have a guess how you pronounce that word? Close. Close. Deluau. which is a really pleasing word to say. It feels good in your mouth. But it has the connotation of slavery. BDAG, which is one of the most comprehensive English-Greek lexicons, gives two broad definitions for deluau. Firstly, to be owned by another, to be a slave, to be subjected. Or secondly, to act or conduct yourself as one in total service of another. Perform the duties of a slave, serve, obey. Which makes it a bit clearer when Jesus says you cannot serve God and money. Where is your allegiance? Where is your heart? Are you giving total service to God or total service to the world? So again, a question that's been coming back all the way through this. Are you following Jesus so closely that you are covered in the dust of our rabbi? Because the world is going to extraordinary lengths to define our identity and our worthiness by how much we earn or what we own. It's always been this way. It was this way back in Jesus' time, but it feels like it has ramped up dramatically over the past century. Because advertising is extremely adept at manipulating us. By using Freud's theory that we are not as rational and autonomous as we like to think we are, it uses some of the most basic human emotions to trick us. I want and I fear. We are being tricked into thinking that we need whatever product or service is being advertised. We're constantly being tricked into the thought that our wants are actually our needs. And these things then become idols. They have ownership over us. And we can inadvertently end up worshipping them and wealth rather than the true God, creator, redeemer, sustainer of life, and sovereign over all things. But this is all coupled with the fact that the cost of living is escalating at the moment. As well as the unemployment rate also rising, and we're feeling that particularly strongly in Wellington. But throughout New Zealand, over the past 12 months, the unemployment rate has risen from 3.3 to 4.6%. It is scary stuff. And our natural response is to clutch on even stronger to what we have. We are so afraid of losing the little that we have. So what do we do? Rebecca and I are often tempted just to run off and be hermits and live in a cave and live a really simple life, but I don't think that is what we're called to do. Let's turn to Jesus and see what wisdom he has for us, trusting that his teachings are good and right. And we're just going to look purely at our gospel reading from today for now. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, turn your face to the things that are important. Your relationship with God and life in his kingdom. Don't accumulate wealth here on earth. But then the next bit of our gospel passage is one that, I don't know about you, but I often just flick through it a little bit quicker because it doesn't make heaps of sense. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What does that mean? Any ideas? Marcus? Yep, eye is what you're fixated on. Yep, that's good. Yeah, that's good. So what you're looking at is what you're focused on. What's that got to do with money? Because this is surrounded with money. Any ideas? Yep. So it's a black and white God or money?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's always something that's most important. You're 80% of the way there. Because the thing that we miss in English is this was a really common first century idiom. And it actually has a bit of a double meaning. So this optometry reference is actually relevant to the money side as well. Because back in the first century, if people said you had a healthy eye, it meant that, yes, you were focused and living with a high degree of intentionality in life, but also that you were generous to the poor. So your eyes were open not just to God, but to the world around you. So when you look out at the world, you saw those in need and you do what you can to help them. Having an unhealthy eye, or as the King James Version puts it, having an evil eye, is kind of the opposite. You are distracted by the gain of the world and you lose your focus on what really matters and those who need help. And in many ways, this is the trap that advertisers and politicians seem to be desperate to draw us into. It's not for our benefit, but for theirs. Which is what Jesus sums up in the next section, where he tells us that we cannot serve God and money. So Jesus, being the good teacher that he is, he's named the problem, named where our focus should be, but then he gives us a bit more clarity. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Therefore, he's connecting money and possessions with worry. Which, I don't know about you, but that feels like the truth to me. How do we actually deal with this? Jesus actually gives us some really good pointers. A story that we know really well. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And after a bit of a dialogue about the commandments, Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Which is a really clear link to our gospel passage today. But it's important to note that this is not aimed at everyone. This was a particular person's need, a particular person's problem that Jesus was helping him to overcome. But it is clear that money was a stumbling block for that person. And if it is for you as well, then you need to overcome it. You need to address it. And that's where the spiritual discipline of generosity comes in. And generosity is a pretty broad word. And if I'm honest, every single sermon of the past 3 weeks has been looking at generosity in one form or other. We started by looking at the generosity of time, not taking pride in being busy. Then we looked at the generosity of being present to God. And the generosity of hospitality. But when we're looking at money, there are two big areas. There is money, but there is also service. It might sound a bit scary, but it really is just a realignment towards the God of freedom and the God of transformation. Because the first step is to remember that everything we have is from God. We are trusted to manage it and to deal with it justly and to be faithful with what we're given. And it's not just money. It's our jobs, it's our possessions, it's our time, it's our energies, it's our bodies, and our lives as well. As Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." But it is so often money that draws our attention. It is money that can cripple us with fear and make us hold on tight and draw our hearts and our minds from God. So if this applies to you, then some suggestions for you. Donate money as freely and generously as you can. Just to be clear, I would love it if you gave money to the church here. But that's not the point of the sermon. This is not an appeal for more money. This is to help you realign your hearts. So if you can, give money to church or give it to Anglican Missions or Tear Fund or any other organisation that helps people and transforms people in the light and the love of Christ. Giving money away is an act of generosity. It's an act of gratitude for what we have. It's an act of service, but it's also an act of rebellion. Make the conscious choice to be generous. If you are already giving money away, then consider how you give your money away. Rebecca and I made the decision that everything we donate goes away on the day that we're paid. That way it's out the way and we're not worrying about it. It's gone, our gift is gone. But there is actually power in actually physically going and withdrawing money from your account and putting it in the offertory bag or in the bucket of a street collector. If you're at the stage where, like me, electronic payments just feel like magic, it's not real money, then there is something deeply humbling about actually physically going old school and giving money away. One of my favourite ones is practicing random acts of kindness. If you're at the supermarket and you see someone who is just looking really worried about how they're going to pay or choosing what they're going to put back, can you bless them by helping a little bit towards what they need? Can you, there are so many cafes where you can actually go and you can pre-order a meal and people can go in and go, yeah, I need food, can I have that? Find ways that you can bless other people in big ways and small ways. And if you find yourself in the situation of having some surprise money in your account, because it does happen from time to time, whether it's just money that is gifted to you or end of the tax year when you get your donation tax credits back, pray about what you can do with that money. Can you bless someone with some or all of that money as well? Now, I know I'm standing here and I'm in some ways preaching from a position of privilege, where, we don't have lots of money, but we do have money. But that's not the case for everyone. I know there are some people who are living on the breadline, who do not have jobs, do not have regular income. But that doesn't mean you can't be generous. You can be generous without money. So some things to consider on that front. How can you use your time and your energy to bless other people? Whether it's doing something here at St. Michael's or mowing someone's lawns or helping with a street collection, there are so many ways that we can bless other people. Can you be present to people who are lonely, people who are isolated? Can you practice non-financial acts of generosity, random acts of kindness? Bless people by smiling at them as you're walking down the street. It's amazing what a difference it makes just to make eye contact and a smile. Don't be creepy about it, just be friendly. When you're driving, let someone out in front of you, even if you don't need to. Someone who can't take groceries out of the car, can you help them? There are so many ways you can just bless people by being present and being helpful. And to link back to the one from last week, practice hospitality, even if you're just going, can I go for a walk with you and have a chat? Just be present to people. Whatever you do, do it with the expectation that it will draw you closer to Jesus. Do it out of love, not out of fear. May you follow Jesus so closely that you're covered in the dust of your rabbi. Let me pray. I'm going to use some words from a song called In the Light of Your Mercy. So let's pray. In the light of your mercy, we offer up our lives, all we are for you. In the power of your Spirit, a living sacrifice, all we are for you. We bring the work of our hands, our dreams and our plans, the fruit of our lips, our talents and gifts, our kindness and care, the knowledge we share, the money we make, all our small steps of faith. We bring our doubts and our fears, our joys and our tears, our failings and flaws, for you, God, see it all. The whole of our lives we offer through Christ. May our worship be true, bringing glory to you. Amen.